nice to have a...
The Senate Rules Committee will come to order. It's my understanding that Senator Bergman is not going to be pressing her bill. She'll be discussing in the context of an amendment to Senate File 1. So I think the only bill we're going to deal here with is Senate File 1. And we announced on the Senate floor that the way we're going to do this is we're going to go through the Senate File 1, which is different than House File 1, or I think it's House File 1. We have to wait for that bill to come over. We will, if we're ready to process this, we'll take it to the Senate floor for discussion. And then when we do get the House file, that will be referred to the Rules Committee. We'll take a second look at it at that point, then process it to the Senate floor, and then hopefully pass it, because this has to be a House file. But if that bill's not here yet, our intent would be to send this bill to the floor to chat, to discuss it, so all the members have a chance to talk about it. And we're just trying to do what we think is most expeditious. Senator Erickson Ropes, the author, is on her way. But we're going to ask Senator Lynch and Senator Murphy, who have been working closely with her, and obviously Senator Senjum, who is here, to kind of go through the bill with us and tell us what we've got. Senator Lynch, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We appreciate the opportunity to be with the committee tonight, and we are grateful to have been called back to address the significant needs in southeastern Minnesota. I think that it might be most beneficial for this committee if we look through the individual sections of the bill, and I'll try to hit the highlights as we go through. So we can begin on page 3.
Can you just give us the big picture here? Is there a budget sheet?
There is.
Let's we'll get it handed out here, budget sheet. Yep. Could you give us the big picture? How much bonding, how much cash is in here?
Yep, absolutely. You'll see on the handout that's being handed out on the back side in the gray shaded areas, lines 87 through 93, there's a detail of the funds being expended. There's $80 million general fund cash, $56 million general obligation bonds, $61 million.
We don't have that yet.
Yep. Is it coming? It's coming. Okay. So say it again, $80 million general fund cash.
Yes.
How much?
$56 million general obligation bonds.
Okay.
$61 million trunk highway fund. $20 million trunk highway bonds. And $1 million petroleum tank release fund. All funds, $218.
Okay.
Those numbers are rounded, but that sheet will be...
Okay.
Distributed.
That budget sheet's on its way. So.
Okay.
Go ahead then.
So with that, I'll go and hit some of the language areas in the bill. We'll begin on page 3, which starts with the Public Safety Division. The total appropriation is $20.5 million. In that section, largely you see funds that are expended for... the FEMA match dollars. Those are the FEMA match that is the responsibility of both the state and the local. And it has been typical, and there's precedent that in such cases like this, the state has picked up that full 25% match. So you'll see those numbers included in here. There's also a section that's been important for debris removal. We'll point that out. For most instances, there will be assistance from FEMA to cover those expenditures. It was our intent to make sure that we were taking care of debris removal costs to the extent that they may not be covered by FEMA for various reasons. Section 4 of the bill on page 4 deals with transportation, $51 million. I think I'll defer to Senator Murphy since this is his area of expertise.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, down on 420, you'll see local road and bridge rehabilitation and replacement. That's $26 million of local bridge bonding.
Mr. Chairman, are you in the bill or the sheet that we don't have?
Page 4.
Page 4.
It's on the bill.
On the bill.
20, yes.
26.
And that's the normal way that we bond for the local bridge, local road and bridge program. Up the page a little bit is on line 13. It talks about state trunk highways and bridges. That number is 20 million.
Yeah.
That's both those two numbers are right now best guess estimates as to what the damage is. I can just say that state trunk highways statewide is a $1 billion a year $1 billion problem, and local road and bridge rehabilitation, that fund could easily spend $790 million at one time to fix all the structurally deficient bridges in the state. The $5 million is for the infrastructure investment support is basically, you know, all the paperwork, et cetera, that it's going to take to get the $26 and $20 million out the door and spent appropriately.
Section 5 is natural resources, $6.7 million appropriated there. Two things to call to your attention. Whitewater State Park was within the disaster area, so there are monies allocated to address the needs within that system. And also some flood hazard mitigation grants that are available that the DNR will find very helpful. Subdivision 4, stream debris removal. We've learned that that's an area that FEMA has not covered, and so we wanted to include some a provision there as well. Section 6, Board of Water and Soil Resources. There's a $4 million allocation there. In finance earlier today, we pointed out, or it was pointed out, that this provides some protection for soil and water quality. So in those instances, we know from Senator Stump mentioned in previous flood situations, there's been some erosion issues, and that's addressed here as well as supporting that fish and wildlife habitat. Section 7, Pollution Control Agency, $1 million appropriation there, largely due to petroleum tank cleanup. Section 8 of the bill is the employment and economic development area. Much discussion there, and Senator Erickson Ropes can speak to this very eloquently. But there are a number of communities in the flood region that have lost the vast majority of their business community. And so when we were putting the legislation together, it was important to us that we stand tall and be proactive and do as much as we can right now to send a strong signal to those communities that we want to do everything we can to help them rebuild and revitalize. There's $35 million appropriated to the Minnesota Investment Fund for those needs. One thing that was clarified in the Finance Division earlier today was that those dollars are available to business, both the traditional businesses, if you will, and nonprofit entities within those localities. So I wanted to point that out as well.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Sunjum.
Mr. Chair, if you have a question, would now be the time, or?
Sure,
okay.
I think so. Unless we get bogged down, but.
Mr. Chair, and to the authors, On lines 732 and 733, and this was to some degree discussed also in finance, I understand that, it talks about criteria for the issuance of business support money being established locally. Would that mean that, for instance, Rushford would maybe have a different criteria than Holka or Stockton or Minnesota City, that we could have, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but that we could have different criteria in different communities? And some business might qualify, a grocery store, and Holka might not, and Rushford could, or would we run into that kind of a problem?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Senjum, as you know, that area is pretty diverse down there, and I think that we all feel that it should be left up to the community to make those decisions, because what may work in Minnesota City may not work Rushford, and we would rather them to make those decisions and how that. Besides, if you read the very if you read the last portion of that sentence, it starts on 729.
Approved by the commissioner.
It says, with the approval of the commissioner. And the commissioners were up here during the finance committee, and I don't think they're going to let any tomfoolery occur. These are local plans, because, as you know, our neck of the woods has a lot of variety.
Yeah. No, Mr. Chair, I didn't imply tomfoolery or anything. I just could different communities decide differently on the criteria? And I guess the answer is yes.
That was my understanding.
Mr. Chair, Senator Senjum, yes, the answer is yes. We do want local officials and local communities to weigh in on what the plan would be. They need to work with the commissioner. The commissioner needs to approve the plan. And then before any grants are made, if you look at the end of that subdivision, 8.5 says, before any grants under this subdivision are awarded to the local government unit, the Commissioner of Employment of Development shall report to the chairs of the Senate, what the plans are. So I think there's some stop gaps there to make sure that the legislature is informed, the commissioner is informed. We're not just opening a checkbook to local officials without any kind of accountability.
Thank you.
I was wondering, what if on 812 you put, shall consult and report to the chairs? Does that give more comfort, Senator Senjum?
Mr. Chair, I think I'm comfortable. I was just
okay.
Conceivably a quick trip in Holka might get help, and a quick trip in Rushford might not, depending on how different people might feel about criteria, and hopefully we wouldn't get into that, and it doesn't sound like with the backstops here that would occur.
Senator Brugge.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, one of the concerns that I have about this section is that this the money that would be available for cleaning up the nursing home and other not-for-profit agencies that provide services to clients that are served by the Department of Human Services. Really, the Department of Human Services in this language isn't involved in this at all, and I believe that's a mistake. But I understand it was a deal that was made, so I'm not going to try and change it. I'm just going to...
That's in the investment fund?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, Mr. Chair...
And all I want to say again publicly for the record is that I believe the Commissioner of Economic Development should involve the Commissioner of Human Services in the monies that are released to these particular agencies. In some cases, it may be possible that some of the furnishings or some of the things that need to be replaced can get Medicaid money. I know the 25% local match by the nursing home, for example, will be problematic. So I don't know where that will come from. But at least, I hope that they will consult with the Commissioner of Human Services, because it was clear in front of the Finance Committee they know nothing about the financing systems that are involved with these providers.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, I think that message was delivered and heard on their part. They do realize that the Department of Health knows...
Human Services,
I'm sorry. They know that issue in and out, and they realize that they have to talk across those departments to get it done.
And Mr. Chair, and Senator Berglund, Your comments in finance today were duly noted and well taken, and there were an awful lot of people at various times that have weighed into this legislation, and even though it was only just more than now, 24 hours ago, that we all knew that we'd be sitting at this table this evening, the work in pulling this legislation together began, I would say, approximately at hour 12 into this flood. And
my comments were really noted, too, weren't they?
Hey, Senator Lynch, is the answer that the authors are comfortable that in Senator Berglund's concern, mm-hmm. Commissioner of Economic Security would actually talk to the other commissioner?
I think that that's overstating the author's comfort level. I would say that we would have much preferred the language that Senator Berglund is inferring, and we were unable to secure that.
Somebody is against that language?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I think there's, as three groups are trying to put together a bill, there's always preferred language, whether it might be coming out of the governor's office or the Senate or the House. And my understanding of this particular language related to Senator Berglund's question is a compromise that was made with the governor's office to include this piece in the bill. Previously, it had been separated out. So the $35 million that we see before us here had been separated out to $20 million, that would be grants to small business, and the $4 million would be going to nonprofits or people or organizations and agencies related to the Department of Health. Those two things were combined, and additional money was added to the whole pot. So that's an action that happened outside the author's purview, but we understand it was agreed upon by the parties putting the bill together. So we do share the senator's concern and preference for other language.
Section. Mr. Chairman?
Okay. We'll move on to section.
Chairman,
One sec. Senator Fredrickson?
As I believe we're talking about that subdivision 3 and the MIF, Minnesota Investment
yes.
Fund.
Yes.
Well, we were talking about sub 2, but sub 3 we can talk about.
Okay. Sub 2.
But we can talk about sub 3.
Sub 2 is what I want to talk about for a minute.
Yeah.
At the top of page 8, for the purposes, I'm going to read a section, but for the purposes of this appropriation, Minnesota Statute Sections 116J.8731, subdivisions 3, 4, 5, and 7 are waived.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Fredrickson, what bill are you working on?
Page 8, line 8-3 and 8-3.
On the document that's 08-4384. And we're waiving the...
I'm not sure if we're on the same page.
We're obviously not working off the same bill.
In the bill, page 8.
We're looking at Senate File 1 like this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, page 8.
Yep.
Beginning with line 2.
Line 8-2 through
8-5.
Some language about waiving?
Yes.
They might have a different version.
Okay, we're waiving on line 3. It says waiving subdivisions 3, 4, 5, and 7.
Oh.
In the statute book, there's no subdivision 7, and I don't see in session law where we made
a different version.
Right here.
We added a subdivision. I think that should be 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Okay. We'll take a look at that. Thank you.
I think it makes sense to waive the requirement, and I also think it makes sense to waive 6 because Section 6 would require the stimulation of productivity growth through improved manufacturing our new technologies, which is not...
We'll take a look at that. We'll figure out what's going on there.
They do have a different version up there.
Okay, we'll look.
Yeah.
Okay. Watson doesn't happen to be here, so we'll try to figure it out. Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
Move on.
Okay, we'll move on to Section 9. That's housing finance. In this section, we are appropriating $18 million to the Department of Housing and Finance.
Get a little different version.
Excuse me while I'm juggling about four different documents here.
Is it, Senators, it's the same language. Apparently, it's a spacing issue.
It's the same language, right. But just on a different
page. So do you have now the version we're working with?
No, but I believe that it's on its way to us.
Okay, so it's a spacing issue. It's not a...
No, it's not a content issue, but it does make it more difficult if you're sitting in this chair, Senator.
Senators, get it together. Go ahead, Senator.
But we're used to this. We've been running on the fly for a while, so it's okay.
Some technical changes, and that just throws us off here just a little bit.
All right.
But...
Now you could be.
Okay. A fifth document. Thank you, Senator. Okay. The Minnesota Housing Finance Agency is getting $18 million, $16 million from the general fund to Economic Development and Housing Challenge, $1 million from the general fund for capacity building grants, and $1 million from the general fund for disaster contingency relief funds.
Okay.
Section 10 is the Minnesota Historical Society. They're getting $250,000 for the preservation of historic structures. There's a building down there called the Southern Minnesota Depot that is the last vestige of the Southern Minnesota Railroad, and they'll be getting $250,000.
So it's for that one facility, basically?
Which
I believe so.
Mr. Chairman, which facility?
It's the Southern Minnesota Depot.
Depot, okay.
Lynch, you think?
Yeah, if I may, the language in the bill would make those dollars available to any thing in that area. But it's our belief that this is the entity that is probably
it's that
there
building.
Could be others because I know for a fact that the Rushford City Mill was also damaged, and so there may be others.
And these are historical register type buildings.
Yes. Section 11 deals with education. The Department of Education will be receiving $584,000, and they go to different school districts in the area: Rushford Peterson School District, Mabel Canton School District, Houston School District, Lewiston School District, for a variety of things, flood enrollment impact aid as children move from one community temporarily to another. There's a decrease of students in one district, so we're doing some equalization funding there. There's also disaster or funny money for disaster relief facilities, transportation aid, and then there's a general category at the end for other school districts that may have flood-related expenses, $90,000 for grants for those. Section 12 is the Department of Revenue. There's $1.5 million appropriated to the Department of Revenue for property tax abatements, and $500,000 from the general fund for homeowner disaster credits. Then we move to I don't talk specifically about all this stuff.
I just think quickly. Section 13 is just the expenses associated with the bond sales. Mm-hmm. Section 14 is the bond sale authorization. Boilerplate language.
To spend money on our credit card when we have cash available.
There's a
that
big difference.
Doesn't need a response. Doesn't need a response.
Very well stated, Senator Pogamiller.
We don't have it available.
Mr. Chairman, starting on at Section 15, there's some waivers that are authorized for the Department of Natural Resources. Section 16 is use of National Employment Grant. 17, Human Services Provider Payments.
Senator Murphy, hold 1 sec. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, we have $159 million that was left over at the end of the July 30th. We're spending some of that.
Mr. Mossman? Please join us. Or you can sit at the table here. Sit at the table. It's my understanding that there's $680 million or something in the budget reserve.
Oh, you're counting all the reserves.
No, I'm not counting that. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about cash flow account. I'm talking about $370-some million that is sitting there that we could use right now if we wanted to.
Mr. Chairman and members, the general fund balance as of the end of the last session was $373 million, not in counting the budget reserve.
So that's not the projected, the forecast.
No, it's cash sitting there. It's in the mattress.
It's money that was not appropriated because of vetoed bills. Is that correct?
We don't need to go there. It's just sitting there. It could be used. So that's my only point, Senator Olson. It could be used. Doesn't make any difference how it got there. It's just sitting there. It's not in the budget reserve. It's not in the cash flow account. Mm-hmm. It's just sitting there.
But, Mr. Chairman, for infrastructure building, it is appropriate to use bonding. And
Senator Olson,
I know you'll have lots of things, and there will be lots of proposals when we get back in session for spending the cash.
Well, Senator Olson, it's absolutely appropriate to bond for those things. The problem is we have a disaster. It's absolutely appropriate to use one-time cash. And when you use this bonding, you do pit it against other bonding things, like higher education or anything else. I mean, that's a simple fact. I mean, I don't want to go much further, but it's so obvious. Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, moving along on page 13, section 18 is the property tax abatement for the flooded properties. As you can see, there's a couple pages, or at least about a page and a quarter, that talks about those abatements. Section 19 is flood loss. Section 20 is the disaster area. Extended for the businesses for property taxes. And then you have to go several more pages, I believe, to page 19, where we're talking about some ag, a very small ag provision that goes on to the next page. Section 22 is a waiver for disasters and emergencies. Most of that's all boilerplate. Article 2 is the 35W bridge appropriating, it's what we talked about earlier, the $2 million, the $53 million. And then Article 3 is...
Senator Murphy, can I just say, is that money that would go to more than just Minneapolis? This would go to others who, or is this just Minneapolis? And I simply don't know. I've never asked.
Mr. Chairman, there were more than just Minneapolis that responded to...
So it could go to other communities, too.
Well, it could, but see, we're talking about public safety money. It was all the responders that collapsed into that area to help with the recovery effort and also with rescue efforts. What we traditionally do with trunk highway money is it is spent for roads and bridges and to make sure that those roads and bridges are maintained and appropriately funded. The one thing that we've always allowed for is to make sure that the State Patrol, for example, is funded through your tax dollars that you pay at the gas pump, as well as any of the accessories that go along with road building. One thing when there's a disaster like happened in your neck of the woods, a lot of people respond. Different jurisdictions, all those people are going to be covered under this.
Okay.
And then Article 3 is just the other disaster relief that's going to be provided. It's Grand Marais, Browns Valley, Crookston, some money for the RFA, and then forage and feed grants for those folks who have basically lost everything. The very last... Section 6, it starts on page 22 and goes a couple sections here over to Section 7, I believe is something that our tax chair would have to explain because I...
Ms. Selner, why don't you just join us and just tell us that's
if somebody wants a clear explanation of it.
Talking... Section 6, page 22, 23, 24, 25. Ms. Selner.
Right. Mr. Chairman, members, the amendment to Section 6 is a change in the current law general provision that deals with the availability of some property tax relief for property, whether homestead or other kinds, that are damaged, substantially damaged, either in a disaster, a widespread disaster, or in some cases in a more isolated circumstance. Now, this is the provision that the department inserted as a placeholder. When you get the amendment, there is a rewrite of this section.
Why don't we wait till we get that done? Stick with us. You don't have to go. Senator Sinjo.
Yes, I was going to ask that because I also had a question. Could we go to page 12 on section 12? Very simple little paragraph there, but where it talks about reimbursing counties for property tax abatements, inferred in that, would there also be a reimbursement to cities or townships on abatement levies or levy abatements?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Senjum, Section 18 provides for property tax abatements for property that is damaged up to 50% or more. 50% or more of its value has been lost. The reference is for payments to counties, but then those would be apportioned to the other taxing jurisdictions as well.
So Section 18 works with Section 12.
Right. Yes, Mr. Chairman, Section 12 provides the funding for the potential. That would be the maximum amount that could be spent for those reimbursements to the local taxing jurisdictions. Another element that's going to be in the amendment that will be presented is that the abatements will also be provided under the same terms to the property that was damaged in the Ham Lake fire. And those will all be covered by the maximum of $1 million.
Thank you.
Why don't we take that amendment right now since we're on that topic? And this is one that's been worked out with the department stuff as to how we want to say this.
Right. And, Mr. Chairman, that amendment is being combined with the other amendments. Okay. It's all being held up a little bit.
So let's do this then. Let's ask if committee members have any questions about what we have in front of us. Then I'm going to take testimony on what we have in front of us. Then we'll start talking about potential amendments. So any members of the committee have questions about what you've heard so far? Okay. Anybody in the audience want to testify on what we have before us? Now, we don't want testimony right now on there's an amendment coming, therefore I want to talk. We want to know if anybody has any thoughts or suggestions here or things that have not been. We are going to talk about amendments, so. Okay, and we'll come back for other testimony, too. So we've heard about that amendment. Senator Marty is here for a reason to talk about. No?
Not yet.
Okay. We have the Senator Rest. Have you reviewed that amendment? Okay, why don't we have the HAVA discussion right now?
Voting.
How do we do that? Who can talk to us about that? Senator Rest, you want to just talk to us about it? There's an amendment being drafted, been reviewed with Senator Rest. Apparently, the governor's office is in agreement. The House is in agreement. The Secretary of State is in agreement. And the governor's office is agreeing to this?
And they said,
Mr. Chairman, that
part of the bill or
something, whatever. Mr. Chairman, they did indicate that they preferred it be attached to this bill so that there be still only one bill. So the amendment is MGA02.
Do you use the mic?
Do we
I
have
thought
that
I was
amendment?
Using the mic.
Okay, thanks.
Let me just ask
I'm
Ms.
not
Helga,
sure.
Is this being part of this bigger thing that's being worked on with Mr. Watson right now, or should we take it up as a separate amendment right now?
Well, it is part of the negotiation.
But just a piece of paper now. Can we look at this amendment as it's drafted?
Yes, we can look at that amendment. And it can either be an amendment or we have also asked that it be a separate bill. The governor's office had said they would agree to that.
Okay. Well, let's
the
do we have the amendment?
They would agree to
okay,
it.
Okay, we're backtracking. Okay. Senator Rest, what's the number on that?
It is the AO2 amendment. And, Mr. Chairman, if the governor's office is agreeable that it be a separate bill, I would strongly recommend that it do that because there would be significant concern about it violating the single subject rule.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. This bill has to do with a voting system for disabled voters in townships.
Okay. Do we have a copy of it here? Why don't you start to describe it, and we'll get a...
Mr. Chairman and members, this was part of a bill before. It's very, very time-sensitive for township elections in 2008 regarding the obligation for townships to provide for, especially for disabled voters. They are not able... realistically, to do that, and we were going to grant them an exception until 2009 to come into compliance with the law, so it would not be an undue burden in the 2008 elections. And it was not a controversial issue, but it did get caught up in all of the vetoes of the state government finance.
It delays
the effective date for townships to come into compliance with the Help American Vote Act.
On this one item?
On this one item.
And the one item is handicap?
Providing for voters with disabilities, special equipment, et cetera, for them. Beyond, they don't have to come into compliance until after the 2008 election. And,
Chairman.
You know, township representatives can certainly speak to it, but it would be, not a controversial issue, but it is very, very time sensitive and is the only issue of its kind.
Chairman, everybody's on board. There's not a problem. Do we need a motion here or something?
Wait one sec. We're going to figure out how to handle this. Let me just ask, is there opposition to it from the stakeholders or anything?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Kent Solem with the Minnesota Association of Townships. This issue has been in play for some time. It became more timely because of the disasters in Southeast.
We know it's timely. And I just want to know whether there's any opposition from stakeholders.
The stakeholders that have been meeting are in full support of having this done. They were during last session. They remain in support because we are very close.
Does that include the advisory committees that we have set up?
Yes. Okay. Mr. Chair, yes.
I think we know everything we need to about this. We'll get a copy of it. We'll see if it needs to be separate or not.
And Mr. Chairman, if you decide to put it in, okay, but I think it's a stretch to say that it is related to the flooding in Southeast Minnesota.
We'll check with
Minnesota.
Great, thanks. Senator Olson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and Senator Rist, I understand that, and I've been involved in a number of those kinds of issues. When you are just delaying an existing one, and you would reflect it in the title, who would challenge? If all of the stakeholders are on there, would there be somebody that would challenge and try to bring down a disaster relief bill because it is there?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson, we can do a number of good things, but we ought to do them correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest that putting this into this bill is inappropriate, that's all. That it's wrong to do, it's just inappropriate.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Rist, in the conversations and the agreement with the governor's office to do that, I thought I'd heard somebody say they would prefer it all be in one bill. Will they agree to do a separate bill with this?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, that was my previous understanding as well until Ms. Helm-Kelvin just corrected it. So, you know, whatever works.
Mr. Watson, is there a single subject potential issue here on this HAVA thing?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Okay. We'll figure out a way to try to process that as a separate bill, if we can.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't have any problem.
We can't. We're obviously not going to hold up the flood relief bill for it, but we'll see what's possible.
You know, mechanically, it's probably faster as a separate bill to get the damn thing drafted and jacketed, and it will be with this thing.
All right.
Okay, how do I process that? How do we do that?
Well, that's just, they have to go over and get it drafted and jacketed. And
well, they don't. We will. Somebody will. How do we want to do that? Senator Rest, call somebody or what? Senator Rest? Senator Rest? Ms. Helgen? We're going to figure out a way to expedite this. No, we're going to do this as a separate bill. Could you have your counsel for your committee?
That's me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's just a matter of talking to Greg. Greg Lindeke. We probably drafted that amendment.
Sure.
Yeah.
jacket and we'll introduce it. Okay. But I think what we're going to try to do is get that bill jacketed and introduce it. Okay. can we go to the... Do you have more than the property tax thing? You have a bigger
one? I have everything, but it isn't here
yet. Okay. What else is in there?
Of course.
The property tax thing. What else? We're waiting. The amendment is drafted. It's being worked on.
Something's being handed out here.
This is what we were just talking about, the HAVA thing. What else?
We can go through the marked up copy of the bill and just show you
what the changes are. Okay, Mr. Watson is now going to go through what the proposed amendment is here, this first amendment. So the MGA02 is going to be jacketed, we hope, here soon. Mr. Watson, you should work off your 4384. He can tell you what's going on here, potentially. Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, members, if you just go through your bill, I'll point out by page and line what things are going to change, and most of it is highly technical. There are a few other things that are more interesting, but you'll begin to see these on the document when it arrives, which I expect will be within the half hour or so. The first one is page 1, line 22. The Board of Water and Soil Resources total is going to change from $3 million to $4 million. You may have talked about that in the discussion on the bill.
We did not. Who can tell us why we're changing that? Murph? Board of Water and Soil Resources is going from $3 million to $4 million. Is what? And do we need to know anything? Or?
What is it?
No.
Why is it changing? Is that a recalculation of the number or something?
Mr. Chairman, that's exactly it. If I remember the conversation, that there were some other things that needed to be taken care of under their guise.
And this is something that the governor's office and everybody's, okay?
Yep.
Senator Lynch, join us. Senator Erickson Ropes, just in case we have questions about these various items, okay?
So it's 147.
Mr. Watson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was looking around for my gun bearer, but he ran out of the room, so.
Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, the next change will be on page 1 after line 27. There will be a new line for the Department of Human Services, $200,000, and that $200,000 will be shown in a new section of the bill, which will be appropriating money for the continuation payments to providers of human services. You probably talked about that already. It was section 17.
I don't know if we did. Senator Bergen?
Mr. Chairman, why do we need to appropriate new money for that? Whatever payments they were receiving should have been in the base budget that we passed last May.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, as my understanding is, the problem is that these are essentially duplicate payments.
Mr. Mossman.
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, the conversation with the Department of Finance and the Department of Human Services, as I understand it, is that the costs will be incurred in forecasted programs, and so the discussion was that we could wait and have the costs picked up in a forecast and we'd have adjust the appropriations at that time, or we could just put money in the bill so that there was an adjustment at this point. We don't know exactly that the $200,000 is a rough estimate at this point. So the $200,000 was added.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mossman, maybe I am not tracking here, but my understanding would be that these would be payments that would be made to nursing homes and child care providers, and they would be made based on what had happened previous to August 17th or whatever the date is of the flood. Now, we appropriated a two-year budget that included a forecast for all of those payments that would be made over the next 2 years. So I don't understand. If the flood hadn't happened, we'd be making the payments without any additional money. I don't understand why, because the flood happened, that we need to appropriate additional money.
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, it's because for a short period of time, the affected individuals will be both in, that the payments will go out both for the facility that they were located in and had to be relocated out of, and also the facility that they are currently located in will get payments. So there will be double payments for those individuals at that point, and that's where the slight cost arises.
I see.
Has this been vetted with fiscal staff from the committee?
Yes.
And anything you want to talk with your staff personally?
Well, maybe somebody can just tell me, do we get federal participation on double payments?
I don't think so.
Would somebody please say it again, Senator?
Do we get federal financial participation when we make double payments for clients?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, my understanding is that on double payments, no, you do not. That would be state-only money.
So are we making state-only payments, or are we making full payments?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, I believe the way the language of the appropriation is crafted broadly enough is that it would accommodate the cost for this particular incident, because it's related to the flood, it's related to the disaster, that there would be enough flexibility to make state-only payments.
State-only or total?
Well, the purpose is to be able to make the entities whole for a period of time for the individuals that are lost, the individuals that are no longer at the facility. And the language is crafted such that the Commissioner of Human Services can make payments to those nursing homes or other facilities from this $200,000. So my sense from the language is that they could use of state-only money entirely if that's all that was available.
And that language, we now have the A9 in front of us. That language is on 1.5 to 1.7.
Yeah, it wasn't half.
Okay, well, Senator Berglund's thinking about that. Let's move on.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the next one, the amendment to page 3, line 2, addresses the problem with the clawback language that's in the first part of the bill. I think you talked about that, or maybe we talked about it in the Finance Committee, that there are situations where an agency will receive state money and then receive a federal payment that's intended to be really in place of the state money. And in order for the state to get back the money that it has put up front, we have some language that says when the federal money comes in, you have to turn that over to the state, put that in the state treasury. But the discussion this afternoon in the Finance Committee pointed out that there are some cases where you don't want that to happen, where the federal money is supposed to be in addition to the state money. The state didn't front any money. It's supposed to be a match. So this says that the Commissioner of Finance has to take a look at the particular situation and determine whether the combined federal and state funding for the project exceeds the cost of the project. If it does, then the excess money is determined to be federal money and it comes back to the state treasury.
Mr. Chairman?
Searles.
Mr. Chairman, you've moved to page 3. Do you have a requirement to adjust the total on page 2 for the changes that you did on page 1?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, you are extremely sharp. And I was just wondering that myself. And I think the answer to that is that
it's $147,809,000.
Let's see. Yes. Actually, on page 10, line 18, correct the appropriation summary and the bond sale authorization.
So what are you talking about? And? Okay. So it's on the back.
Yes.
Of the
yes.
Thank
yes.
you.
The amendment to page 3, line 7, is just correcting the dollar amount, the total, for the Department of Public Safety to agree with the detail that's in the bill. On the amendments to lines, page 3, lines 31 and 32 have to do with those grants to counties for debris removal and burial. The current language sends money only to counties and only for rural residences and farms. This change would allow the grants to go also to cities and to be used for residences that were in an urban area.
Mr. Watson, do you need an additional word to cities here?
Yes.
And, Mr. Chairman, you are?
Chairman, you are correct. Thank you for.
Well, no, that's, you said Senator Olson was extremely sharp or something.
Mr. Chairman, you likewise are extremely astute.
What word do you need there?
And,
before cities?
Yes.
So that'll be added.
The amendment to page 4, line 13, just corrects the name of the description of what the $5 million appropriated to the Department of Transportation will be used for. The real name is Infrastructure Operations and Maintenance, not Investment Support. The amendment to page 4, line 28 is just clarifying what that $26 million appropriated from the Transportation Fund will be used for. It's not only going to counties, it also is money that is available to cities and towns for use on their roads and city streets. The amendments to page 5, lines 9 and 10 are parallel to the language that we saw up on the amendments to page 3, line 2, the clawback language. The amendment to page 6, deleting the Board of Water and Soil Resources section and inserting a new one, is what adds that $1 million to the Bowser total. And you can see that the new $1 million is for rim conservation easements. That is a use that can be made of money from bond proceeds. The other appropriation, subdivision 3, the $3 million, is from the general fund because some of these costs in the cost share program can't be paid for from bond proceeds. The next amendment to page 6, line 12, is changing the description of what the $500,000 appropriated to the Department of Natural Resources from the general fund is for. They have two other appropriations from the bond proceeds fund, but they have some needs for flood response that can't be paid for with bond proceeds, so they wanted some general fund money. It was described earlier as just stream debris removal, but they wanted available for more general flood response and recovery purposes. The amendment to page 7, line 26, has to do with the Minnesota Investment Fund, and I think you may have had some discussion about that in the explanation of the bill. This is where the nonprofit organizations were very concerned to be able to tap into that $35 million, even though they're not businesses operating for a profit. They still wanted to be eligible to receive part of that $35 million. And the amendment to page 7 after line 31 is a further cleanup of the language designed to benefit those human resources service providers, the daycare centers, and so forth, that they can get money out of the Minnesota Investment Fund. Notwithstanding that, you'll see the two separate clauses on the top of the next page. Either the resident has relocated outside the service area. That's the situation where the nursing home or the child care center doesn't have clients or users because they're gone, but they have continuing costs to pay. The second is the provider, child care center, for example, can't provide their services due to flood damage to the place of business. In either case, they would be eligible to get money from the Minnesota Investment Fund. The amendment to page 8, line 14, is that report that we had discussed earlier to the chairs of the Senate Finance and House of Representatives Ways and Means Committees, explaining how the Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development proposed to spend that $35 million. This is just adding the House Finance Committee to the committees that are notified. The amendment to page 10, line 1, has to do with the Minnesota Historical Society's properties that have been damaged. And apparently the term historic site is a term of art, and they would rather talk about historic structures. The amendment to page 11, both of them, have to do with that final pot of money in the Department of Education. There was $90,000 that in the bill as introduced was to be used for facilities repair at school districts other than the three districts named in the bill. This change makes that money available also for the flood enrollment impact aid and increased transportation costs, if there are any. The human services section is that $200,000 that we talked about in connection with the bill summary.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Bergen.
Just so we get it right, when that's referred to on page 3 in relationship to that $200,000, it should be as provided in section 17, not section 18.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, that would be true if we were not adding this section 12. When we add section 12, what was 17 is going to become 18.
Well, it still says 17 in this amendment.
Yes. But it won't be when the sections are renumbered.
I'm sure that last page corrects sections. Yes.
Okay.
Page 10, line 19.
I hope engrossing doesn't get confused.
Well, I hope they don't either. It certainly
section
is
formerly
confusing.
Known as 17.
Trust me.
Mr. Watson will pay particular attention to that when he sees the engrossment.
Okay. And we'll count on the engrossers to have listened to this discussion and know that 18 stays 18. Page 12, line 8, is the first of several changes that maybe Joanne talked about. If she was talking about the Revenue Department's various changes to the bill, throughout there were references to flooded property as being eligible for reassessment and so forth. But the change expands that to damaged property so that it would cover property that's harmed as a result of a fire. In particular, we're talking about the Ham Lake fire. Let's see.
Ham Lake's north, isn't it?
That's the Boundary Waters one, the big fire up there.
Oh, okay.
Right. It's not the Ham Lake.
No. Oh, the amendment to page 13, lines 1 and 2, has to do with the waiver language. I think this is the one. Yeah, this relates to Bowser and their cost share programs, I believe. It's adding a reference limiting the waiver to that southeast Minnesota area. Page 13. No. Mr. Chairman, I think there's a problem with the page and line reference there. Second.
Yeah. What time's dinner?
Yeah.
You go eat.
It doesn't fit to the language. Does it need the word of in front of it in order to continue from the language on the bottom of 1233?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, no, it's a little more complicated than that. That the amendment is not the lines 1 and 2. It's actually lines 11 and 12.
Okay.
But you can't quite delete the line because you need to keep the waive the. So in line 11, it's deleting everything after the first the. And in line 12, it's deleting everything up through waiver applies, which is now in line 13. But we don't really need to that delete that because that's still there. So it would be
just up through the period on line 12.
Would be deleting lines 11 and 12 and insert waive the provisions. Mm-hmm. And then we don't need the waiver applies, I think.
You would on 13, line 12, you would delete up to the period.
Yes.
Instead of the whole line.
Yes.
So mark your A9.
If you do delete lines 11 and 12, you reinsert.
Waive the.
We just don't have the waiver applies in there. So it says land damaged by the floods of August 2007, period, the.
Okay, so on the amendment now, members, A9, here's how it's going to read, Mr. Watson.
Page 13, delete lines 11 and 12 and insert, quote, waive the provisions of Minnesota Rules Chapter 8400 in the affected geographic area included in DR 1717 on land damaged by the floods of August 2007, period, the. And what that is doing is changing the reference
it works.
To what's been waived from just selected parts of Chapter 8400 in the rules to all of Chapter 8400. So it's a broader waiver.
That's incorporated in the A9, that language. Okay, Mr. Watson.
And the new language, page 13 after line 6, should be page 13 after line 16.
Okay, incorporate that on line 3.21, line 16, not 6. Okay, continue.
So Mr. Chairman, we're adding a B, so would they insert somewhere an A?
Should have been, yes. And the A would go on page 13, line 10, mm-hmm, before the.
That is also incorporated in the A9 amendment.
It's already in there in page 27.
And the substance of the new language is to waive the payment maximums in those areas.
Okay, the next ones look really technical. Are you on the right? It should be line 19.
No, actually, the next one is correct.
Okay.
That 13 line 9 is just out of order now.
Okay.
After the semicolon, okay.
That actually does fit in the bill. And line 2, there's the A. There's the A that we needed to insert.
Okay.
Okay, it was just out of order there.
Okay. Delete 16 and 17.
Okay, our national employment grant. Did you talk about the $3 million that's been received? What the bill says, if you see on page 13, is that if there is a grant from the U.S. Department of Labor to hire employees in the disaster area, then contractors should attempt to hire employees who are paid under that program. The Department of Finance pointed out that they really need authority to spend that money, and so the dollar amount, which is now known, $3 million, is appropriated from the federal fund to the commissioner, and then the contractors working on those projects are required to give first priority to hiring employees who are available through the grant. So that where people are displaced, they're out of work, there's $3 million to hire that kind of those kinds of employees, those are the first people who should be hired rather than totally bringing in workers from elsewhere. The rewriting of Section 17, which we've had so much discussion about, and the human services area. Let's see.
This is deleting it.
Yeah, this is just rewriting the section, which is designed to continue payments to providers who may have lost their customers due to the flood. The changing flooded to damage is the same as I'd mentioned earlier. And this is the area, this next three lines, where the property tax abatement for flooded property section, which under the bill as introduced applied only to southeast Minnesota, would also apply to the Ham Lake fire. It's about $20,000 worth of abatement reimbursements would go to those communities affected by that fire.
Need an appropriation for that?
No, there's no need for an additional appropriation. There's $1 million appropriated for that purpose, and it's just divided among the eligible jurisdictions. The changes of dates that you see here on lines 4.22 to 4.26 are just to give the assessors a little more time to get in and do their reassessment of the flood-damaged property. They're out there now. They've been doing it for the last 3 weeks, ever since the flood occurred, and they just need a little more time. The amendment on page 4, line 28, let's see.
This is just more related to the technical language for the property tax thing.
Right. I think that this has to do with...
I think Ms. Selner assured us that this is agreed to with the department. This works.
Instead of delaying the payment of your property taxes that were due this fall for a full 6 months until next May, they're just delayed for 3 months till the end of December. Okay. Did she also talk about the rewrite of the truth in taxation requirements? It's just making it uncodified instead of in the permanent law, since it is a temporary provision. Page 20, line 21, just clarifying that $53 million appropriated for the bridge expenses is coming from the Trunk Highway Fund. Page 21, after line 4, this is a totally new item. I'm not sure whether you had discussion about this in connection with the bill, but the concept is that for people who were on the I-35W bridge when it collapsed, their cars have been destroyed, totaled out, their insurers shouldn't cancel them because they've made a big claim.
Is this the Berglund?
I believe this is the Berglund and Karen Clark provision.
Okay, and Senator
Senator Scheid
has looked at this. The governor's office apparently is comfortable with it.
Was this Senate File 2 introduced today?
Yes. The first section of Senate File 2, I think.
Mr. Chairman, the amendment to page 22, line 13, changes the official who will pay out money to Ham Lake. Let's see.
I apologize. I'm trying to absorb this. But.
For their fire expenses. The $500,000 to Grand Marais and Cook County for their Ham Lake fire expenses will come from Public Safety, who handles fires rather than the Department of Revenue. The page 22, deleting lines, section 6, I think that's what Ms. Selner told you about earlier.
Ms. Selner, join us quickly. Senator.
Could I revert to another line for just a second?
Yes.
On page 5 of the amendment, page 20, line 21, there's no appropriated in that line.
Oh, okay.
It says supposed to insert after appropriate. That looks like a wrong reference.
Pretty sharp.
And Senator Frederickson is also very sharp.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, he was just pandering to his own senator when he made that earlier comment, so don't take any offense there.
Mr. Chairman, I think the problem is that the page and line numbers have changed, so that should be page 21, line 1.
So on line 5.6,
yes,
it should be page 21, line 1. That is incorporated now. Okay, Ms. Sellner, just give us the brief definition, description of all these tax provisions here now that you've worked out with everybody.
All right, Mr. Chairman, members, the amendment that begins on line 16 of page 5 eliminates the placeholder language that was put into the bill as introduced that had been begun to be worked on by the Revenue Department. And this is essentially a rewrite of current law that applies not just to these flooded properties, but has been in effect for some years. And it provides property tax benefits to property that's damaged by disaster or a more isolated kind of a problem, such as a fire. This provision will provide greater benefits to the property owners. Under current law, the relief is apportioned depending on the number of months that the property is unusable. This would just say if the property has been damaged to an extent of more than 50%, then these benefits would apply, and also applies for state reimbursement to the local taxing jurisdictions for most of the abatements or credits that are granted by them.
And this has been vetted with the tax staff? And
yes, Mr. Chairman, the department met with House and Senate tax staff this morning, and we've gone over it.
Senator Bach will be comfortable with this.
Mr. Chairman, I have not spoken to Senator Bach myself, but his staff is aware of this, and I think they've communicated with him. Okay. The changes in here are all to the benefit of the property owners. There's no instance here where this applies and would reduce the benefits that are available.
Is this general law now?
Mr. Chairman, this continues. There was a general law in effect for many years, and this will continue to be in effect. It's going to be effective for taxes payable in 2007, but only applies, with one limited exception, it's only going to apply to damage that occurs after the enactment. So the current law is going to continue to be in effect for prior damages. This will be the new scheme that will be in effect for damages that occur in the future.
Why do we need to do it now then?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if there's damage to property next week, then this would be available to those properties for taxes payable in 2007. Otherwise, the changes wouldn't be in effect until 2008. There is one very minor limited exception to that, and that is that there had been some concern about this benefit not being available to property that was destroyed by arson. So there is an amendment in here that makes it available if the arson is not caused by the owner but is caused by someone else. And that would be retroactive to events occurring in 2006.
Mr. Chair, if I may speak on behalf of the authors for the moment with regard to this particular section. And when we were working on this, it was not very clear what the intent of the law was. And so we view this as a very positive move. We were seeking for clarification for these folks, but it became very evident to us that this was an area that we could probably shore up just a little bit.
Okay. So we should hold on. This retroactive for an arson, is that for something in particular?
Mr. Chairman, I believe there had been an example that was brought forward of an event that had occurred in 2006, and that had been included, that limited provision had been included in the current law as an amendment in the tax bill this year.
Before we catch it. Mm-hmm. We help it.
Where was that event?
Mr. Chairman, I don't recall where that was located. I can find that out for you before the floor.
I'm wondering why we're changing general law, but it's not going to apply to the flood that just happened. Do I misunderstand? Except in the instance of this arson.
Right. Mr. Chairman, I think the feeling of the department was that, as Senator Lynch said, that there was a need for clarification in this whole area of the law. It didn't provide very generous benefits because of that apportionment based on the number of months.
Okay, but we would have to have another event for this to happen, to apply now.
Mr. Chairman, this will apply to any kind of destruction of property that occurs after the date of enactment.
Mr. Chairman.
So none of the flooded properties now are going to benefit by this?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Mr. Chairman, why not? Is this only related to arson? This is damaged property.
Mr. Chairman, and
why are we doing this?
Senator Olson, we do provide an alternative benefit to the flooded properties and the Ham Lake properties in that we have the abatement of 50% of the taxes. Essentially, their second half property tax payment will be forgiven. So that provision will take care of those particular properties. And that's modeled on other relief that we had given in previous flood sessions.
So Mr. Chairman, what this does is, for going forward, it doesn't require you to go through that abatement process. It would take care of it in the actual taxing?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, this provision is going to give a general law that wouldn't, for future, any kind of a future, whether it's a general disaster or an isolated destruction of property, this law will provide a mechanism for the county to decide whether or not to provide this relief. In most instances, the counties, the local taxing jurisdictions will be reimbursed for the lost revenue. So most likely, if they feel the property qualifies, they'll be giving this relief. But earlier in the bill, in the first article, you're providing the abatement to the properties that have been damaged in the flood. That's very similar to the relief that's provided here.
Ms. Selner, mm-hmm. Could this be made retroactive to just the seven counties that have this flood damage or not? Or is that bad?
Mr. Chairman, I think you could structure it that way, but I do believe that the provision in the first article of the bill that provides the abatement and the reimbursement would provide a similar degree of relief to the properties that were damaged in the flood or the Ham Lake fire. And you wouldn't need both of these provisions.
Be on or after August 18th, 2000. Arson or vandalism. Year 2006, so we are reaching back.
Guess I'm having a hard time understanding why we're doing this language at all right now. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, it is still related to disaster relief. It's just that
future disasters.
Yes, but it's a reworking of the way we do it.
Well,
we
understand.
Cover it one way so that you don't go through that exercise.
It doesn't
every time.
Apply to this disaster.
Mr. Chairman, I would say that if you intended to fix this at some point, if you wanted to make the general law more generous and you wanted that to have effect for something that occurs other than these particular disasters that are being addressed in the bill, but that would occur before the beginning of the next session, you could enact this, and then it's effective for taxes payable in 2007.
Got three different effective dates here.
Doesn't apply to this last
one. You could do for property. For property. The septic that's damaged on after.
But
so
they take care of them. They don't need it.
This
would come out of the committee because
we're
in the
committee.
Language.
Why are we doing this
committee
here?
The director is the department.
I'm going to get out of here by minutes. Good reason not to do it.
I mean, it's a reasonable provision. I don't know that we need to do it.
What's this?
As I'm concerned,
I'm
this your stuff?
To think of what, you know.
Where's it coming from?
Mr. Chair, if I could just offer some clarification. When we were working on this, the provisions as related to the tax abatement that appear earlier in this bill were very clearly the intent of the authors of this bill and reflects a kind of clear relief that we wanted to provide. When we met as late or early as this morning, this was a section of the bill that we were advised that other entities were continuing to work on. And I will say that this is the first time that the authors have seen this particular language.
What was your intent?
Our intent is reflected earlier in the bill. Mr. Watson can probably direct you to specifically what page that is on, but as his counsel has indicated, earlier in the bill, essentially we're taking care of the people that have been impacted by this disaster.
Already.
That was our intention.
So, Senator Clark?
Mr. Chair, it would appear to me, I mean, we're brought in for a special session, and so we're trying to deal with the immediate issues beforehand, and it seems like there's a good intent here, but it hasn't been gone through the tax committee. It's not directly applicable to this particular disaster. It would seem like, in spite of that good intent, that it's the kind of thing we actually should put aside, remove from this amendment, and wait until session so we can actually go through it and deal with it in February.
So, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, if we delay and don't adopt this.
Why even do it?
Rid of it. Not from the governor's office. From the governor's office.
Mr. Chairman, if we don't do that, do we need Section 6 in there that's amending current law?
It appears not.
So
it appears not. Okay.
We would take Section 6 out of this, the current
bill.
The current bill, because that's amending
current law.
And
do not add a new section.
And do not
six.
Add the new section.
Okay, so we're going to delete from the A9 Section 6, which is 5.16 through, Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, just back on line 5.15, I think you leave in the words that say page 22, delete Section 6.
Yes, we're leaving that in.
And then we just delete and insert.
All right.
Delete all that stuff that's inserted.
All the way to.
I think we're about to the end of the bill.
Ms. Sellner, how far does it go?
Mr. Chair, you would delete all the way through page 10, line 17. Except that you want to leave page 10, line 4.
Which, Mr. Chairman, miraculously is also somewhere else. This particular direction appears twice.
So we don't need page 10, line 4?
Yeah, because it also it also appears on page 5, line 14.
Okay.
And Mr.
So,
Chair?
One sec. So on the A9, we're going to delete on 5.15 the words and insert, colon. And then we're going to delete lines 516 all the way through 1017. So those will no longer be in the amendment.
And Mr. Chair, if
AD's revisor instruction.
If I may, the authors would consider that appropriate and a friendly amendment.
No, because that has to do with.
That has to do with deleted. What we're doing. Okay. So that's so we're deleting that out of the A9 now. Okay. Senator Olson.
And
we're also taking the Section 6 in the bill out.
So do we need to vote on that? Or are we just in
court? Well, no, because that will happen when we adopt this A9 amendment.
Okay.
I mean, we're just incorporating what we
okay.
just said. In
so, okay. So Mr. Chairman, my question is related to Senator Fredrickson's earlier correction. Can we incorporate that into this amendment?
You're talking about the line 6 versus the Section 6 versus?
Yes.
Okay, we need to find out where we're at on that. Senator Fredrickson, you had talked about a reference somewhere.
It's on page 8.
Of the bill.
8, line 3.
Okay, it's not in this amendment, right?
It's not in the amendment.
Okay,
it's in the bill.
Okay,
but
let's
we address it in the amendment?
Well, we'll do it separately.
Why? Because they're going to have to redraft this amendment. You could
He will, but let's just do one thing at a time.
Okay.
So we have the A9 in front of us. Okay? And on the A9, on line 19, we've inserted the word and cities. Mr. Watson, go through and say what we've done. Okay?
Next, Mr. Chairman. I think it would be prudent on page 3, line 16, we'll make that 18 into a 17.
Okay.
And we'll change the number later. And on line 318, it's page 13, delete lines 11 and 12 and insert waive the provisions. And on line 3.20, delete waiver applies. Line 321, make that after line 16. And we're going to
5, 6, and then you reorder that. Yeah.
Reorder that, and line 5.6 should be page 21, line 1.
Okay, and then.
And then, the change you just talked about, line 5.15, delete and insert colon, and then delete. The rest of the language through page 10, line 17.
Okay, let's deal with A9 as it is, and we will come back. Commissioner, we will come back to that tax thing in a second. We're not going to do it right this second, but we'll come back to it. Okay, so now we have the A9. Senator Clark moves the A9 as just discussed. Is there anybody in the audience who wants to talk about the A9 as we just discussed it? Testimony for or against? Okay. On the Clark motion.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'm still puzzled by why you wouldn't allow this to be amended on page 3 to insert that.
I'm going to do it next.
On this amendment, or are you going to do a separate amendment?
Separate amendment.
Separate. Doesn't matter.
We'll get there. Don't worry. All in favor of the A9, as we just amended it, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion adopted. Okay, now let's go back to Senator Fredrickson's issue. We'll come back to the commissioner. Senator Fredrickson, tell us where you were at here.
Mr. Chairman, I raised a question about on page 8 on lines 2, 3, and 4, but I think this is fine the way this is here. I did have a concern about Section 1, which it turns out was a purpose statement, and I did not think it was appropriate to have under the purpose statement clauses 3, 4, 5, and 6, but it's just a purpose statement, so it probably does not have binding.
Okay, so you're good. You think this is okay?
I'm fine.
Now.
This is fine. The way
leave
it
as is.
Leave it as is.
The way it is.
Okay. Now, Commissioner, do you want to give us some information about why we might want to consider that language? It's okay, Commissioner.
Members of the committee, for any confusion that there was, but. We did draft this this morning.
Sure, if you would identify yourself for the tape.
Ward Ines, Commissioner of Revenue. And I was listening to testimony over at the department, and I just wanted to set the record straight that, in fact, this general law provision that we've redrafted to make it more understandable, more coherent, is necessary for both the flood and the Ham Lake situation. And it's a little confusing because there's a lot of moving parts in this bill right now, but there's the abatement provision in the bill, a specific abatement provision that deals with taxes payable in 07. So if you hit the 50% threshold, go to your county. They can provide an abatement of the October 15th property taxes. So there's that provision. Then there's a separate provision that's general law currently that we've redrafted, and that is necessary in order to provide the credit reimbursement for taxes payable in 08. So for next year's taxes payable in 08, this provision is necessary. And it's a different threshold than the 50% for the current year abatement.
Mr. Watson?
But Mr. Chairman, Senator, or Representative Commissioner Innes, the concern is that this be in place before May 15th of 08? When the first half of property taxes would be payable for 08?
What they would have? No. The one provision you guys have already addressed is for property taxes payable this year. And that's the 50% threshold, and we've expanded that to apply to both homesteads and other types of property. This provision has actually a couple different facets. And the one that we need for going forward for both the flood and for the Ham Lake provision is the homestead credit. Actually, we expand it to more properties where for the following year they do a reassessment. So I just got off the phone with the person who actually drafted this provision, and he said it's absolutely necessary to address both the flood and the Ham Lake provision. The one exception to that is the arson provision. That's a fact-specific change that was talked about in the tax committee, and that is not – it's something that the House requested be put in this draft, but not absolutely essential. But there's two different – there's this year's abatement, then there's property taxes payable for next year, and that's what this provision addresses. What we've done here with this draft to make it liberalize this provision is instead of the current law we have now in the books says they get reassessed, and for property tax payable for next year, the reassessment is based on, you know, the actual value of the property. We've liberalized that to make it so next year's property taxes, it's not prorated any longer. It's for the entire year. You get that benefit of valuation.
And so are you saying as this is drafted, this will affect the flood area?
Yes.
It will affect both flood area and the Ham Lake area. Yep. And it's just, we undertook.
Ms. Selner? Do you see that now or not?
Yes, I apologize. I didn't catch that part for the next year's application. So I agree with the commissioner, and I apologize for not having that right the first time.
Okay. So Senator Olson moves that we do Section 6 of the A9 Amendment. Whoops, there's all kinds of sections here. Starting with 516, you need all this, Commissioner?
The one exemption that does not apply to either the Ham Lake or the flood situation is the issue regarding the arson.
That arson thing. What is this arson thing about?
You know, my understanding is it happened in the Bemidji area. They came to the tax committee. Our strict reading of the current statute says that's not applicable for this abatement.
You think it should be?
We thought it should be. It was included in the tax bill.
You think it should
be?
We
thought since we were – I do.
Okay, so 5-6, it was in both tax bills?
It was in the vetoed tax bill. I can't recollect. I believe
– Oh, so House and Senate agreed to it.
Yes. They did.
Was it in the House bill, the Senate bill, both bills?
Mr. Chairman, I don't recall. It was at least in the House bill and – I don't know.
Okay.
The final bill.
So Senator Olson moves on the A9 on page 5, line 516, all the way through page 10, line 1017.
Mr. Chairman, I think we have to go back to 15 because we deleted and insert.
Oh, and go back to line 15 and reinsert and insert.
But exclude...
Line 10.4, which is in the amendment somewhere else. Okay? That is the Olson motion. Discussion. Commissioner, Ms. Selner?
Sorry.
Do you want to think about it some more, or are you based on...
Yeah.
Senator Erickson Ropes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner. I guess I would just say, as one of the bill authors, that you know we're uncomfortable just looking at this right now today. We've heard from Mr. Watson as counsel saying it's not necessary. We don't have anyone from the tax committee here or tax counsel here to advise us.
No, tax counsel is here.
Oh, excuse me.
And the Commissioner of Revenue.
That may be, I guess. We're just, I feel like we're missing some voices at the table and want to express some hesitance, you know, moving forward with this. If, but of course, it's your committee and you've asked the questions. We're, you know, trusting your judgment. I guess we just want to go on record as saying we've just seen this language this evening and, you know, tax law is not Senator Lynch's or nor my area of expertise, and we're just
Mr. Chairman.
We hear you. Senator, Commissioner, if we could get this enacted before May 15th, does that get the department where it needs to go, or that's kind of the problem?
No, I think this could wait till the spring. You know, but I think what I've heard when I was down on the ground in Winona in those areas is that they liked some certainty going forward, and based on current law right now, it would not be nearly as robust a tax abatement as this language here provides.
Has this been vetted, though, with the chairmen of the committees and some of the committee members? Maybe they don't want to make it more robust. I mean, I don't know.
Right. Well, it has been vetted with Ann Lachesky in the House. We have vetted with both House and Senate staff this morning. Senator Scully was present when we went through the language. I'm trying to remember who else was present. I did talk to Tom Bach, Senator Bach, on Friday, and told him where we were going with this particular provision. It wasn't quite as generous what he provided for Ham Lake in the tax bill, but it was more generous than the current general law, so he was fine with that compromise. I think it's been fairly thoroughly vetted by Karen Baker and by Pat Dalton and by Joel Michael.
Senator Lynch, Senator Erickson Ropes, I think probably it's okay to do this. It'll provide a little extra benefit for people in the flood area.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think I'm convinced, too, that it will provide more benefits going forward for your areas that were affected than if we took it out and did nothing. And it also is the timing part is that reassessment takes time. It isn't just when the tax payment comes due. If you're going to reassess to do that, that's a process that needs to start earlier. So I think that's a reason to do it now rather than to wait through the next session.
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to argue for including it in the bill. If this will give some certainty and some comfort to those that have been ravaged by that flood, I think we should do it, let them move forward with some certainty on the issue. And second, we'll be back here in February. If we don't have
That's
it
wrong.
Quite right here, it can certainly be
fixed.
Further massage.
I think the certainty is for the county officials, right?
It is, and also for people.
So they know how to do this.
Correct. But also just for peace of mind for the people on the ground. One thing about this language that we're responsive to the folks on the ground in the flood-impacted areas is that we have expanded to include more than just homestead property for the reimbursable. And businesses in Rushford were wiped out, the last 58 businesses, and that was one of the reasons why we thought this more robust disaster credit was warranted. And I know that the business folks felt like they were getting neglected to a certain extent, and this is really responsive to that.
What if we do this and put a sunset on it so the tax committee can review it if a mistake's made here?
Chairman, I think that's a fair compromise.
Why don't we do that, and what would be an appropriate time to sunset it so the tax committee has time to look at it and go yay or nay? What would be appropriate?
Why?
I don't know the sequencing of the...
Well, I think we'd have this resolved by next session, so I think July 1st of next year. Okay,
why don't we do that?
Well, Mr. Chairman, would you propose that the new law would be repealed? I mean, if you were to sunset this, then you're taking away a benefit that's under current law, which is only increased by this proposal.
Okay, let's do it. Let's be risk takers. We'll do
it.
Without the sunset.
Without the sunset.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have the Olson motion before us. No sunset. the mistake, the tax committees can look at it.
Thank you, Chairman.
And the mistake will accrue to the benefit of businesses and homeowners now. So, okay. Does everybody understand the amendment that Senator Olson is making? Lines. There is no sunset.
Okay.
Okay. Lines 516, well, 515, you have to have the end insert. And then 516 all the way through 1017, but delete line 10-4. And out. 10-4 and out. Discussion on the Olson motion. Anybody in the audience want to testify? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Commissioner, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
Good Chairman.
Okay,
I have a one-word amendment.
Okay.
Page 26, line 4, delete 2 and insert 4.
Page 26.
Page 26, line 4. Delete 2 and insert 4.
Page 26, line 4. I don't see 2 and 4.
Just before two of the minimum period.
Oh, four of the minimum? Yes. Well, Senator Fredrickson, we need to vet that. Mr. Watson?
Mr. Chairman, my apologies to Senator Fredrickson, who made the same motion and or suggestion in the Finance Committee, and I guess I missed that one.
Okay, but it is the right thing to do?
Yeah.
So Senator Fredrickson moves on line 26, page 26, line 4.
Yeah.
Delete 2-0 and insert 4. Discussion, all in favor say aye. All opposed, motion adopted.
I suggest that this one.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. That was the.
Okay. I don't know anything about that.
$2 million for these purposes. This adds $1.5 million.
It's all the language. What other things?
This is not. We're talking about this.
They were in 10 minutes.
Is it?
I don't know why they don't get
this
started.
This is the original House language.
Well, the Democrats must be fighting.
So
that's the only thing I can think of rock compete on why I can run. I meant to go through hell. It's the only thing I can make out of it. They don't care about agreements. They just.
What's the House doing at this point?
I hate this.
It's going to be the beginning of Article 3.
I want to watch us out of here by midnight.
Do we have a copy? Do we have a copy of the Berglund bill? Get a copy of the Berglund bill.
Exemption comes up. Yes. Just the tax stuff comes up.
Right. That's all. The sales tax refund.
Yeah. Just.
And this amendment reflects that. Except for it's only has 3. The first I heard about the 3.7.
Okay. Okay. Then that's yes.
So this is okay. We have the A11 amendment. This is the agriculture amendment.
Way.
Mr. Chairman, maybe
something.
I haven't seen that yet. Maybe Mr. Knopf can.
Mr. Knopf will join us.
Okay, great.
Knopf, if you just go to the committee table, that would help.
Mr. Chairman.
Look at page 21 of the bill, members. Page 21. Mr. Knopf, looking at page 21, why don't you?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Murphy and members, what this amendment does is if you look in Article 3, Sections 1 and 2, there were two, in the original bill, you had $2 million for the forage and feed grants and another $500,000 for the RFA for disaster recovery loans. What this does, and apparently this has been worked out earlier today, is that it's a $3.5 million, and it's given in a lump sum.
3.7?
Excuse me, 3.7 now.
So it was, yes. on the A11, line 1-4 should read 3700000. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, thanks. I just heard that, too. So it's $3.7 million in a lump sum, which the commissioner can use after consultation with the chairs of the House and Senate Ag Finance Committees to provide funding for, including forage and feed grants, and then also organic certification assistance, forage production losses for livestock producers, no interest, disaster recovery loans, water sampling analysis related to the incident in Rushford, and grants to the Board of Trustees for mental health counseling to support farm families. So those are the main options. It remains to the commissioner to expand that list, because it does say that the commissioner may allocate funding to those things. They're supposed to develop criteria and may allocate among the following areas. But that's instead of doing the two different programs, and it includes for the RFA loans, it does include providing no interest to disaster recovery loans in the program. So that's the $3.7 million. That replaces sections 1 and 2. And then there's a new section added dealing with reimbursement payments from the ACRA fund. And what that does is right now you receive 80% up to $350,000, but then there's also a deductible of $1,000. And what it does is it basically waives that and allows the person to get full reimbursement in this when it was caused by flooding for ACRA cleanup.
Authors, Senator Murphy, is this where you want to be?
Mr. Chairman, I do believe so.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
Chairman, so I'm not sure I can answer the question, but so why do we go from 2.5 to 3.7?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, I'm not sure I can answer. That's a question for me to answer.
Is there
3.7 number? Well, it was 2.5 in the bill.
Yep. Right.
And
a million do come from.
We added 200 for the human services portion.
Where did the extra million two come from? Is
that she had it all crossed off.
And Mr. Chair,
we added 1 million for the Board of Soil and Water Conservation.
100 because when we took out the
1 million for the Board of
Exemption, the Farm District. What's the extra
million? Should that be 2.7? Should that be 2.7?
And then we added 200 for human services.
Plus the sales tax exemption is 200.
And then they're adding another 1.2 here.
2 million more, not just 1 million.
Well, was
the somebody recalculate?
How much was the sales tax?
There was 2.5 before. You need to add a million. Didn't you put 3.5?
No. The sales tax exemption had a dollar amount attached to it. And when we took out the sales tax exemption,
This is 2.5.
Where was the sales tax?
But forget about the sales tax.
Because that's what we're talking about.
Okay, so
don't forget about it.
No, we've got that
covered. Because that's where the money came from.
Mr. Chairman.
Why is it 2.5 to 3.5?
Mr. Chairman, there were three items that were added in consultation with the Department of Ag and the House early this morning. Line 1.8, they added the livestock investment grants, also the organic certification assistance, and then, and Senator Vickerman called this one right, starting on line 11 and continuing through line 13, some of this money is going to be used through the Board of Trustees and Minnesota State Colleges and Universities for mental health counseling.
I think all we need to know is the idea here is to add $200,000 because the sales tax exemption was dropped, okay. And the $1 million is intended to be added because of these other items here now?
Yes.
So there is an intent to add from the previous bill $1.2 million.
And Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mossman just gave me the explanation.
Okay.
I don't know if the committee wants to hear from him.
We would like to, Mr. Mossman. Yes.
Mr. Chair and members, just to point out from relative to the spreadsheet that is in front of you, I believe it's just the change of the $200,000 that's been talked about. There was earlier in the day conversation about three separate provisions, money for the Rural Finance Authority in the amount of $500,000, $2 million for the forage and feed grants, and $1 million for livestock grants that would parallel the forage and feed grants. And this is now all rolled up into this provision.
Okay. So the 4384 did not reflect the spreadsheet because it was only at 2.5. The spreadsheet was at 3.5 plus this 200 now.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Okay. Okay. Senator Cohen?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so Senator, who's our aid person here? Senator Langseth? Do you want to move the A11?
I suppose I can.
I'm the A guy.
Senator Langseth moves the A11. Anybody in the audience want to testify? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Okay,
you need to do this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
It's in the bill.
It's about some sales tax.
Pass out the Berglund bill. Do we have a copy of that? Okay, we'll come to that in a second. Okay.
And Mr.
Reconsideration of the amendment.
Yeah, okay. Is there anything else here? Aside from the Marty thing?
We're done.
And that's it? Those two things?
What's that?
They're making copies. They're making copies of that.
Well, testing. And
that's the Marty thing.
Yeah. Just old copies of the A9.
So right now, I believe we have two things pending that I'm aware of. One is there's some discussions about this well testing issue. We have an amendment here, but apparently that's not all been worked out yet. And then we have to revisit the insurance provision from Section Senate File 2. But we're waiting for copies of that. Well, no, but there's some additional language. So we're waiting for copies of Senate File 2. We apparently are going to take out... Well, Senator Berglund, do you want to explain what we're doing? What the potential thing we're going to the idea will be to reconsider.
Section 1 is not needed.
Okay.
Current law,
which is what we put into the bill.
Right. Current law says that a passenger in a bus, taxi, or commuter van involved in an accident that needs to file a claim against their auto insurance, that they would not have cancellations or surcharges or increased premiums.
It's so covered in current law, okay.
Right, so we don't need this.
What page of the amendment?
We're handing out
page 5 of the amendment.
We don't need what we had
page
in
five.
The amendment. What we need is what was in Section 2.
Which is being handed out right now. The original, I think the simplest thing to do, members, is we're going to look at Senate File 2 right this moment. And we added Section 1 of Senate File 2 in the A9 amendment. We added it to the bill. Senator Berglund's going to make a motion to reconsider that and take it out of the bill. Then she's going to make a motion to put Section 2 in the bill.
Right, and Section 2 just gives the Department of Commerce more enforcement authority about this provision. And so we think that's a good part of the bill. And
okay, why don't we do, here's what would be simpler than reconsidering. Senator Berglund moves, looking at the 4383, the 08-4383, which is Senate File 2. She moves to incorporate into Senate File 1 lines 1.16 through 3.5. She also moves to delete in Senate File 1 page of the A9 amendment, page 5, lines 5.8, 5.7.
No, you'd want that one to be preceding what she's now adding, wouldn't you?
Oh, right. We would put section 2 in that spot.
We're going to put, okay, so we're going to delete page 5.8 through 513. Delete 5.8 through 5.13 and insert instead from the Senate File 2, lines 1.16.
Section 2.
Section 2, just section 2, I guess. Okay?
I make that motion.
Berglund makes that motion. First, does everybody understand the motion? Senator Shine, this is where you want to be.
Mr. Chairman, can you restate what's in and what's out? And
taking out, if you look at the A9 amendment, okay, which has already been adopted in the bill, mm-hmm, to Senate File 1, we're going to take out lines 5.8 through 5.15. 5.13. 5.8 to 5.13. Lines 5.8 to 5.13. And insert instead off of Senate File 2.
We know what they're doing.
Lines 1.6, Section 2. Just Section 2. Okay, Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you for asking my opinion earlier, even though I didn't have a copy in my hand. And upon a cursory look, it looked like that section that's in the bill right now that you're about to vote to remove, perhaps. It looked rather innocuous, but there's some ambiguity in there, and it looks like you don't want to go there. It would forgive, for example, egregious traffic violations.
Wait. Now we're getting a separate explanation. We were told that it's already in current law.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it is. But I'm just telling you that there is problems with the language. I won't even tell you then what they are. Because it says you can't have a future increase in premium rates if you've ever been in an accident on a collapsed bridge or in a bus. That would mean ever, even if when you grow up,
okay, sir,
and you're,
right.
I know.
I'm just looking for a simple clarification.
Okay.
So that
right,
apparently is not in the law now.
Well, there's no surcharge allowed.
Okay.
Because if you're in one of the, if you're a passenger on a bus or that's in an accident, okay, that's true. The language went much further, I think, than was intended in the first place. That's fine.
Yeah.
The part you're getting ready to adopt, I think, is just fine because I think it's current law, essentially, other than perhaps the notification problem in it, or provision, and I don't think that's a problem.
Do you support the amendment the way it is?
Yes, I think I do. I'm not looking at
yes,
the other language, but I guess the answer is yes.
Does anybody in the audience want to testify on the Berglund Amendment? Do the authors agree with the Berglund Amendment?
Yeah.
Yes.
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 It's fine.
On the Berglund,
one author does.
On the Berglund Amendment, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, motion adopted. And it's my understanding that that is agreed to by the governor's, the executive branch.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
On strike for the kids on the bus.
Senator Murphy?
Mr. Chairman, there's still the A8 amendment, I believe, is floating around out there. And
what's that about?
This would be water and air quality testing.
I think it's
the A10. Did it change already?
Ongoing testing. It's floating around.
I'll give him a copy.
We can pass it out, but we do not have an agreement from the executive branch yet. That doesn't mean we can't do it. I'm just letting you know that. And they are in the hallway talking about it right now.
We're looking at the A10.
Yeah. So the way to do it without appropriating any money.
Okay, so the appropriation is coming.
It should be done by the PCE,
source.
Not the Department of Health.
That would be
appropriated.
We didn't do a thing for food, did we?
No problem with that. As long as
it has to operate on vapors.
I brought my own sandwich.
Yeah, pizza.
We didn't get any.
Okay, let me ask while we're waiting on that, is there anything else the members of the committee would like to bring up?
I haven't given up, sir.
I have a small 256-page amendment, Mr. Chairman.
That being Xeroxed.
Mr. Chair, you know, I had a bill last day of session. 70% of the Republicans voted for it. I think in respect for the minority, particularly Senator St. John, who voted for it also, we should really include that.
I think those were just comments. I don't think they're looking for discussion.
It's rhetorical.
Mr. Chairman, while we're at it, I can just mention there was a bill that everyone in the Senate voted for an additional 0.5% COLA for nursing homes, and that isn't on the agenda today either. So.
Okay, is there anybody in the audience that would like to bring up an additional issue that they have a Senate author for? Okay, then we will recess briefly. I wouldn't leave the room, but we need to figure out on this testing amendment, the A11, A10, where we're at.
Yeah.
So,
Mr. Chairman, we took the money out of it, so.
Recess to the call of the chair.
But shouldn't it be done by the PCA? It's not health.
Yeah, it is a PCA.
Okay.
Bless you, whoever that was. Well, that was you?
Yeah.
Give me that blessing back. Give it to me on the third hole.
No, that's what I hadn't seen. I'd seen an earlier version.